Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. In today's episode, we'll be offering working moms some do's and don'ts. My panelists today are all moms, and they've dedicated their lives to helping women use their God-given gifts to be who God called them to be. Crystalina Evert, Lisa Canning, and Angela Schneiders. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. Now, Crystalina, we've discussed on past episodes the contributions that women make when they're working, whether that's full-time, part-time, from home, and so on. So tell us about that feminine genius that God has given women.
You know, God gave us the ability to manage and handle and multitask a lot of things in our life, a lot of children, and some moms do have to work. And just like me with my ministry, it always wasn't so demanding. There's been seasons, and women have to understand there's going to be seasons in their life when it comes to how much you're taking on, or if you have to step back a little bit. And there was a time in my life, for example, like Theology of the Body for Teens, we were filming that, and I literally just had the baby, and the baby is about 3 months. And it was a lot, but they're an excellent establishment organization, and they really work with me. We had to stop certain times just so I could breastfeed the baby, and they were incredibly accommodating. And I bring that up because there are really good Catholic organizations out there that women can work for, that maybe if you are looking for a job, try to find that place that is going to honor you as a mother and honor that you are life-giving, you are feeding your baby, you are doing God's will in your life, but also that will support you in your motherhood. That's really important. But if you're working from home, that's a different situation. But God gave us great gifts, and we're able to multitask and to just use that to the best of your ability. But if you feel stretched thin and you're a little overwhelmed, then maybe you just need to pray and maybe step back just a little bit.
And I can't wait to talk about all of these practical steps and these important considerations that working moms have to make. And Lisa, in your work as the Possibility Mom and with the Guiding Star Project, you work with women in all walks of life, from the homemakers to the entrepreneurs. And our society has given women the impression that their worth is determined based on their careers and how much money they bring home for the family, how much they hustle. How can that mentality be destructive?
It's exhausting because it never ends. When you think about it, when you get a promotion or you climb a certain pinnacle, there's always something more. So it's a big fallacy to think that I have made it, I've arrived, this is going to be, you know, the be all and end all, because number one, it's just not true. And number two, it's exhausting. Our worth comes from where? From our identity as daughters of the King. And it can be a very challenging thing to unlearn, especially when you might be naturally gifted at things, or you've always done well at school or at aspects of your job. To unlearn that pattern of my worth does not come from my performance can be very challenging, but what it does is it invites us to trust the Lord immensely and to put all of our worth, all of our possibility, anything that we do relies solely on Him. This can be very challenging to do, but essential.
Essential indeed. And you really do have to unlearn what you've been told time and time again, directly and even indirectly, about your worth as a woman and your worth as a mother. So thank you for that. Now, Angela, first of all, since this is your first time joining us here, welcome to the Catholic Sphere.
Thank you.
You have a really impressive background. You've been working with Catholic nonprofits. You've served with Focus for 15 years. You've been ministering to female athletes through Fierce Athlete, which you were on Women of Grace on EWTN to talk about, and also coaching women through a truly Catholic lens. And you have been so helpful to me personally when it comes to challenging those limiting beliefs about myself, particularly the lie that in order to be successful as a working mom, I have to do it all. So let's talk about some of those limiting beliefs and the downright lies and the impact that they're having on women.
Oh, Debbie, and first of all, just thank you for your yes, and thank you for providing this beautiful space for this conversation, because I think so many women right now are suffering in such a deep place because of these limiting beliefs that I have to do it all. I have to do it all by myself. And if I don't show up in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to fail the Lord, I'm going to fail my family, I'm going to fail myself. And so I think we have to first really challenge that limiting belief that of radical independence, that we are called to be codependent upon the Lord and interdependent upon those around us. And so if a woman is called to work outside of her home, or even if she's working inside of her home. My beautiful mother-in-law raised 8 children, and she was a stay-at-home mom, but she was working harder than any CEO. And so really asking that question of who can come alongside me to help me. You know, it takes a family to raise a family. And I think that we need to challenge a lot of these beliefs that it's stay at home or it's work. You know, it really comes down to what are you being called to in this particular season by the Lord? And what are the needs of your family, of your children? And what are your particular call? What is your particular call and your particular gifting that the Lord is inviting you to share?
And even in the past century, things have changed so much for society. We don't have that built-in support system that we used to have,
right?
Multi-generational homes, that mm-hmm. village that people talk about that is so
exactly.
important to raising a family.
Yes.
So what would you say to those moms, both the ones who are working and the ones who aren't mm-hmm. working, who don't feel mm-hmm. like they have that support system, or who are just trying to stay afloat mm-hmm. for the sake of themselves and for the sake of their family so
right.
they can make it work?
Mm-hmm. So I think the first vulnerability is actually learning the skill of asking for help. And even though it might not feel that no one is listening, we just need to keep knocking. Starting with our spouses, starting with, you know, women at church. I know that in so many parishes, there are beautiful grandmas that are missing their grandbabies, you know, and we just need to practice knocking on that door to build that team around us who can support us. And even if we don't have the financial resources to, say, hire a mother's helper, could there be an exchange with other mothers where you help take care of each other's children for a time, just to even go for a walk or to get some extra time and adoration. So I think this idea of women coming back together in a multi-generational space of serving each other, accompanying each other, supporting each other, that is what's so missing right now in our world. Because again, women have always been working and raising families. It just was the family farm, or it was when you had your neighbors next door, or your mother-in-law was next door, or your sister or sister-in-laws. Mm-hmm. So we need to come back, I think, together as women who are interdependent upon one another and really looking to serve each other, to help each other to get through this particular season we find ourselves in the world right now.
Absolutely. And recognizing too that it's going to look a little bit different in different seasons mm-hmm. of life. And a great example
right.
of that is Kristalina. You're known across the world for your speaking, mm-hmm. your books, your radio mm-hmm. show, your TV show, Founding mm-hmm. Women Made New. And as your family has grown, how have your work commitments changed?
You know, what really changed, Debbie, is I really started honoring that voice of God within and listening to what I knew He was asking me to do. And there were seasons, again, we're going to go back to those seasons, where I really needed to step back and not be in ministry, not travel, not really do much. And that demonic dialogue was fierce of, well, if you're not out there traveling, I mean, what are you going to be, a loser stay-at-home mom? What are you going to be? And I felt so inadequate in my own home as well. So it really was hard for me to take that step back and be at home with my kids, honor what God was asking me to do in my own healing process, you know? Mm-hmm. But by doing that, I became so much more stronger in my relationship with God, in my motherhood, who I was as a person through my healing, through saying yes to what Jesus was asking me. And now when I am doing my Women Made New, one, I was checking with the boss, Jesus, and I pray about everything, but also I make sure it's not affecting my family too much, that I do the things while my children are at school. I'm doing my radio shows, like filming right now. Everyone is off at school right now. It's not affecting anybody's schedule. So I make sure it's in those times where they're not too affected, but I have the leisure to do that. And not all women do. But if you just honor that voice of God within what He's asking you to do and stay in your lane, ladies, then it's going to be so much easier, because I feel like we cause ourselves so many problems grasping at things that it's not time for yet.
And being able to have the conversations and being able to also level up in your skills as a working mom is so important. Kristalina, if I could just ask you a follow-up. For a first-time mom who is transitioning into being a working mom, what recommendations would you make for her as she's trying to navigate that adjustment period? Because going from having no babies and being a working woman is very different when you go into being a working mom with a child, a newborn. What do you do?
One, not beat yourself down, because even being a stay-at-home mom and my own personal beat down, I was giving myself because of my own weaknesses and feeling inadequate. And then adding a job that you have to go to on top of that is even worse. But just be patient with yourself. And then just know that you're not alone. A lot of moms are doing this, and find a support group that is out there. And I know that there are plenty, that you are not on your own walk by yourself. Jesus does not want you to be alone. There is a huge amount of working women out there that are working, that have had babies, that are going through the same exact thing as you, and to come together where you will be strong. You can feed each other with your experiences, different tips and things that you can do to help each other in that working day, or to help your children, or just to get out the door in the morning to make this transition more easy. Because I know it's not easy leaving your child. I know, but at the same time, if it has to be done, there are ways to do it to make it not as difficult.
And I'm so grateful for the input that all three of you women offer, because I know that I look to each of you as models for how to make it work as a working mom. And now, Lisa, there are a lot of opinions out there about working moms. So some women work because they need to help support their families. Some women work because they have those special gifts to share with the world as they grow their families. Some work alongside their husbands and their businesses, like St. Teresa's parents, St. Louis and Zaylee Martin. Mm-hmm. And some women work seasonally, depending on the family's needs. So we're not here to say that one arrangement is better than another, but how do women alongside their husbands discern what the best work arrangement is in a particular season of life?
I mean, it requires discernment, but the key to discernment is that you're able to spend time with the Lord. And the ability to spend time with the Lord, I've got 10 kids, the ability to spend time with the Lord is a skill. Like, time management is a skill. And so that's the first thing that I would say one needs to master, is that discernment. But to be able to discern does require quiet. And so this can look many different ways. This can look like getting up really early before your kids and having that quiet time. It can look like fitting in your prayer time when your kids are napping. It can look like spending a little bit of time after Mass or before Mass, for example. Your family's already there. You can hand off children to someone else for a period, but it's being strategic about getting that time in. I find when I'm able to fit in and prioritize that quiet time with the Lord, I can hear his voice a lot clearer. And he can tell me where he wants me. He can tell me how much he wants me to work. He can tell me the kinds of things he wants me to invest in. But that ability to hear his voice, the ability to discern, requires time with him. And that's a skill.
And Lisa, being a mother of 10 children on earth and one in heaven, I trust your input. And, you know, if Lisa Canning, the possibility mom, mother of 10 children, can make time for quiet and time for that individual prayer, I think that it's safe to say that there are many other women out there who can make that time. But they say the grass is always greener on the other side. So how do we help women combat these feelings of comparison? Like, oh, it's easy for her to do this because she has X, Y, and Z, or... what do we do? How do we fight the comparison?
I think it's natural when we see someone else happy and they might be doing something completely different than you. I think it's natural to ask the question, well, if they're happy doing that, maybe there's something wrong with me. So number one, it's just becoming aware. Are you comparing and thinking that you're off course just because someone else looks happy? But then number two, honestly, this is what I call it. I call it Holy Spirit blinders up. Like, you are just blinders up. You are looking at the Lord. You are grasping onto the hand of Mary, honestly. And you are just focused on, Lord, what do you want for me and my unique life? What do you want for me in this unique season? How can I glorify you with the gifts that you have given me? Sometimes it's going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes it's going to feel really exciting. Other times it's going to feel like an act of obedience. But that's the key. It's just blinders up. You focus on you and the Lord and what he is calling you to uniquely do. Because he's not calling you to someone else's life. He's calling you to what's going to make you holy, what's going to make you grow and become the person that he wants to ultimately be united with for eternity.
Yeah. What an important reminder. Because I know that the comparison is a temptation. Now, Angela, I am talking to some pretty incredible women right here. You're well known. You're all highly successful women. You've got deeply impactful ministries. So for the woman who's watching right now, who wants to increase her contribution to the world, she wants to grow her apostolate, wants to grow her business. What advice would you give her about balancing work and family life?
Well, again, I think it comes back. I just want to echo what Lisa said. Each of us have been called by name. We have been called by name. Our Lord has called us into existence for just this moment in salvation history, and he has a unique mission for us. But the way to go about finding that mission and bringing birth to that in the world as biological moms, as spiritual moms, as women who are leading ministries in the world, we need to consecrate ourselves to Mary. I think she is the key to everything. And through consecration, giving everything back to her, she is going to commission us into our unique calling. She has certain souls she wants to entrust to us, those biological souls, those spiritual souls. And so this all comes back to intimacy first and foremost, in that mindset that, Lord, you're going to give me the grace for whatever you're calling me to in a particular season. And that word overwhelm just means underskilled. So I need to get curious about what new skills, what new support, what systems do I need? And then it's going to take some grit and a whole lot of grace in order to give birth to what the Lord is calling me to in this particular season. So I think, ladies, to just really get curious. I mean, again, this comes back to intimacy. I think no one is better suited to teach us about living that interior mystical union with the Lord than St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. I pray that she will become one of the next doctors of the church. Claire Dwyer has done such a beautiful job of making her writings accessible to us in, I think it's This Present Paradise is her most recent book. Dr. Anthony Lillis has also done such a brilliant job of making her writings available. In fact, her first meditation, Heaven and Faith, was written for her sister Margaret, who was a mama of two young children. So we first have to get right. I think that's been such the beautiful thing that's come out in this conversation thus far is intimacy with the Lord, into me see, that deep interior dialogue, knowing also that our prayer life is going to look a little bit different from when we were single, when we were mama of one or mama of two. It's going to look different in every season. But intimacy is not about just a set time. It's about living within the Lord's heart at each and every moment. Okay, and from there, Jesus and the Blessed Mother are going to commission us and trusting that whatever they've called us to, they're going to give us the grace for. But again, it's going to be getting curious about what new systems, what new skills, what new support, a whole lot of grit. It's going to take effort to skill up, to train our mindset, and also relying completely on grace. Because I think that's the challenge for the women we're speaking to now, who are the stay-at-home mom, the women who are working, the hybrid, is the temptation that evil one's going to give us is to rob us of the present moment, which is where the grace is at. We need the past is in his mercy, the future's in his providence. As St. Mother Teresa said, the present is in his love. And then secondly, the temptation is self-reliance. And we need to remember in every season that we are called to be poor in spirit, totally dependent, and yet confident daughters, that the Lord is going to give us the grace we need to fulfill all that he's asking of us.
Amen. Amen. And that's why we can't possibly do it alone, because we need this encouragement from fellow moms. Mm-hmm. We need the encouragement from the women who have gone before us and so that they can teach us and they can help us develop these skills. And Chrisleen, that brings up a good point. So with Women Made New, your book, the mini series, your weekly radio show on EWTN Radio every Saturday at noon Eastern, you emphasize the importance of women supporting each other and building each other up. And it's not just, you're doing the best you can, go mama. What are some specific ways that we women can help other women, especially working moms, helping working moms?
Well, first you have to look at yourself, right? Are you looking at other women in a worldly view with that worldly lens of they are my competition? I need to push them away. I need to make sure they're not like one-upping me in any way. Instead of having that worldly view, the other women are that competition. Look at them as they are our sisters. They can help us. And a lot of what you have sometimes is what they need to help build them up. We are all here for each other, and we are in this battle together. We are not fighting each other. And the devil wants more than anything for us to go after each other. Half of his job is done, right? But if we unite together, we're praying together, we're lifting each other up, it's a whole new world, because then you have comrades in this battle versus enemies and competition that you're pushing away. And when we lock arms, we're stronger in that regard. And nobody is going to take my place. It doesn't matter, even if she's almost in that same position as I am, she does not walk in my shoes. She has not had my life experiences. She cannot fit in the shoes that God gave me and me alone. And she has her own mission, purpose, plan. But nobody is taking that from me, because it was meant for me. And God will not replace that. But everyone has a seat at the table, Debbie, and we need to stop acting like someone's going to take away what we have if they're better, pretty, smarter than us. But you are your own unique person. There is nothing and no one that can take your place because you are unique to you. And there's only competition if you have a rival. I have no rival. There is no other Kristalina walking the planet right now. There is only me, and I'm my own worst enemy, to be honest. And if there is something that you have an issue with another woman, that really is your own wound that you have to deal with and take a good hard look at yourself, why that woman is poking at you and affecting you the way that it is, because there's some sort of brokenness that's making you weak, that is making you want to kind of cower down instead of kind of lift up and maybe pray into that. And that's what I've done in the past with women that have affected me that way. And the more you pray for them, the more the devil doesn't want to taunt you with them.
I love that insight, because we do have temptations to comparison and competition, whereas we could be collaborating with women and we could be building up the body of Christ together, building up the domestic church together. That's such an important point to bring up. And now, Lisa, I love your mission as the Possibility Mom. I really do, because even in the name, it's so clear that it is possible to do great things. And so once a woman has discerned alongside her husband what God's call is for her life, what are some preliminary steps for getting started with answering that call?
I love getting clear on your natural motivations. So what gets you excited? And to try very hard to align your activities with those natural motivations, because here's the thing. As a mom of many, my time that I'm going to be away from my children, I really want to make that count, right? So there are things that I'm not as naturally gifted at. There are things that I can do, it feels like, in my sleep with the grace of God, right? Now, grace is going to help me in either case, but there are going to be things that are efficient. There are going to be things that feel like they're flowing and are really, really fun. This is why I love human formation and really just understanding how we have been hardwired so that we can create our activities in alignment with our natural giftings as opposed to against them, because my time away from my children is really valuable. So that's getting really aware of your natural giftings is an amazing first step.
It's part of who God made you to be. And that awareness is important too, because then you can start to zero in and develop those skills, whether it's, you know, I need to wake up 10, 15 minutes earlier in the morning so I can get the day started, or I need to map out what my day is going to look like the night before so that I'm not waking up in the morning wondering how the day is going to go. You can hit the ground running. These practical skills are so important. Even just making a schedule for the day, making a meal plan. These are all things that are going to help you serve your family. And as part of that, be able to serve God and answer his call for your life. So great idea. I love what you say about figuring out what your strengths are and what you enjoy doing. Now, Angela, you mentioned St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. Who are some other saints that women can look to as models, particularly saints who are moms?
Absolutely. Well, you already mentioned the Martins, Zelie and Louis Martin. I think they are such an exquisite role model for us that are even more relevant today than they were, you know, 100 years ago. Louis Martin, left his job to come support her. And they themselves became saints. Their children have all become saints. And so, again, I think it really comes back to that holy curiosity of, who did God create me to be? Who did he create me to be with my spouse and our family? And what's the unique call that we've been invited into? St. Hildegard of Bingen, of course, was not married, but I think she's also such an exquisite role model of a woman who had such a vast array of skills and gifting that the Lord entrusted to her, that she cultivated and nurtured and gave back. St. Gianamola, of course, is someone else we can look to. So there's so many saints as we begin to, I think, ask these questions to invite to come alongside us, to accompany us, and to intercede for us. And I also just want to invite, you know, ladies, as Kristalina just said so beautifully, so eloquently, you know, if we're struggling with that unhealthy comparison, we can actually train ourselves to celebrate what makes another woman unique, precious, and unrepeatable. You know, we can focus on gratitude. You know, gratitude and scarcity, gratitude and fear, gratitude and anxiety cannot coexist. And so much of this comes back to when we're actively doing God's will and we're creating, we're co-creating with him, right? We don't have time to compare. We don't have, which again leads to despair. We know that. And that unhealthy competition, let's collaborate. Let's intimately collaborate Because again, each of you ladies, as you fulfill what God is inviting you to do, you help me understand what my unique place is in the body of Christ, in my unique role. And we know what happens to a body when cells are replicating in an unhealthy way. We get cancer. And so for the whole body to flourish, we need every single one of us saying, giving our fiat, saying yes to the Lord, fulfilling who God created us to be in our unique call and our unique contribution. And as St. Edith Stein said, who I think is another one of our brilliant role models, who again was not, she was not married, but she has so much to teach us. And she said, as women become whole, they become pillars on which others can lean to be made whole. And I think as women are stepping into their unique call and their unique contribution, you know, as the heart of the church will be able to lean upon its women and families, and then the church will be able to lean upon the world. And so there's such a beautiful moment right now that we do have with the saints cheering us on, accompanying us and guiding us. And the saints also show us that as we become more and more of who God created us to be, and Christ is literally made manifest in us, we become so unique. The saints are so diverse. They're so different. And as Kristalina said, and Lisa echoed so beautifully, there's a place. There's something that only I can do in this time. And again, that's going to look a little bit different in each season, but to have such confidence that the Lord has us exactly where he wants us, and he's going to give us the grace that we need if we have the humility to keep growing, to keep learning, to keep inviting others to accompany us and to support us.
Amen. Amen. And now, Kristalina, we have about 1 minute left in the show. I can't believe how quickly these go. What advice would you give to working moms to make sure that they are able to serve God and serve their families well? Again, we only have 1 minute.
I think it's really important, especially if you're working out in the world and you are a mom, especially a breastfeeding mom, or you have multiple children, that you know the laws in each state that are going to support you, that are going to help you and protect you, because the world is not really out for moms right now, but to tear us down. But to be smart and just to know where you are strong and that the laws stand with you, that you can protect yourself in the workforce where you feel like you may be being attacked unjustly in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you for that. That is an important reminder. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. If you enjoyed this discussion, you can watch even more episodes of The Catholic Sphere on our online streaming platform. It's ewtn.com/on-demand. And if you learned something from this episode, if you found some new perspective, please share this video with a mom friend of yours. So Kristalina, Lisa, Angela, thank you again for being here today. And thank you for joining too. We'll see you again right here next week on The Catholic Sphere.